take your Bible and turn to what is typically called the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, the ninth verse. Matthew 6 and the ninth verse, because we want to pick up tonight on that second phrase in verse 9. Remember, Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray. You ever feel uncomfortable praying? Well, Jesus gives us, he shares some principles of prayer, and we learn them here. He says in the ninth verse, "After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We talked about that phrase, our Father. Tonight I want to talk about that phrase, hallowed be thy name. You know, as a parent, I have found that one of the difficult and delicate balances in parenthood is that balance between the familiarity that you want with your children and yet at the same time the respect. How to maintain that level of sweet intimacy with your child while at the same time not being treated disrespectful by them. It's a tight, thin line that we have to navigate. And while we desire to be our child's friend and we want them to talk to us and confide in us about everything, we also want to be sure that we maintain that parental authority that God gives us. God invites his children to come boldly as an uninhibited child in approaching a dad. And yet he wants us to come humbly as subjects come before a king. As we saw last week, prayer begins with relationship, our Father. But it needs to be balanced with reverence, with respect. Hallowed be thy name. So I want to share with you, first of all, tonight, what it means to hallow God's name. What does that mean? And we'll go into greater detail after we pause a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you've given us this pattern of prayer. I pray that the guiding principles that you share with us from it would be greatly helpful to us. As we saw last week, prayer begins with a relationship with you. And people need to be brought into a saving relationship by receiving Jesus as their Savior and being born again, and thus born of God, becoming a child of God. So that we can honestly say, our Father, Abba. Lord, I pray tonight that that familiarity of child and father, child and daddy, would be balanced with the reverence and respect that is due you. So teach us, as the disciples asked you to teach them to pray, teach us how to pray in this manner. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to hallow the name of God? When you pray, he says, say, hallowed be thy name. To hallow means to make holy. It means to purify. It means to dedicate. It means to set something apart from everything else. In other words, to hallow God's name is to treat God as uncommon. To treat God's name as being totally separate from everything else and from everyone else. The Jewish people call this Kiddush Hashem, sanctify the name. And the first century rabbis, which would have been in Jesus' day, they said that there was one command out of the Ten Commandments that carried the severest threat with it. And it was that command, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for thou wilt not hold him guiltless who takes thy name in vain. In other words, if you use God's name in a thoughtless way, if you do so, you show disrespect, you show that you don't reverence his name, you put yourself in great jeopardy. To hallow God's name is to show the deepest reverence, the deepest respect always. Can you think of some ways, without saying them in your mind, can you think of some ways in which we don't respect God's name? In which we carelessly use God's name? Why do we hallow God's name? Why do we treat it as uncommon? Why do we set it apart from all other names? Why hallow God's name? Why is it important to honor God's name? I think a couple of reasons. Number one is because names in the Bible carry meaning. Names carry meaning. Names really refer to a person's character, a person's nature, a person's being. Give you examples. You remember Abram, his name was changed from Abram, exalted father, to the covenant that God made with him that he would be the father of many nations, to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. So from Abraham, exalted father, to Abraham, father of a multitude. You remember his grandson Jacob. His name Jacob really meant schemer, conniver. His name was changed to Israel, which means a prince with God, a prince of God. And so names are important because they carry meaning like that. And the first name for God that we find in the Bible is the term Elohim. It's a plural. And very simple, a plural because later on in that same chapter, God says, let us make man in our own image. Elohim is a plural of God. And that name for God refers to his mighty power. But the real name of God in the Bible, his covenant name that he gave to his people Israel, we don't even know how it's pronounced. In fact, the Jewish people won't even say it because they're afraid that they would break that commandment and take it in vain, and so they don't even say the name of God. And we don't know if we are pronouncing it right when we say Jehovah. There are no vowel points in the biblical Hebrew, and so we don't know what the vowels are of the four consonants. We say it's Yahweh. Jewish people superstitiously, of course, avoided saying it. But this name for God that we would say Yahweh or Jehovah refers to the one who is, the one who always existed, the eternally existent one. It refers to God being absolutely unchangeable. It refers to God being the one, the ever-living one. And for this reason, we have to be sure to treat his name carefully, with uncommon and deepest respect. But here's another reason why we're to hallow God's name, not only because of names have meaning and because of the deep meaning of his name, but secondly, because names refer to a person's reputation. For instance, Our Lady studied the biblical character Abigail. She had a husband, and her husband's name was Nabal. And Nabal means fool. And in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 25, his wife says to King David that my husband's name is Nabal, and he lives up to that name. Names equal reputation, whether they be a good one or a bad one. The writer of Proverbs says a good name is to be more coveted after than great riches, because name carries with it reputation. And it was the children of Israel that often blasphemed the name of God by their bad behavior. And they ruined God's reputation among the heathen, among the pagans that surrounded them. Again, the early rabbis, when they translated that commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," they translated it this way: "You shall not lift up the name, the reputation of the Lord for an empty thing." In other words, to do something evil in the name of God would give God a bad reputation. And in the Torah, in the book of Leviticus, they were warned against profaning the name of God by their behavior. Hillel Hashem, profaning the name. Instead, Kiddush Hashem, sanctify the name. You do something evil and you associate the name of God with it and you have profaned his name. You sin against God himself when he suffers from having his name defamed by you. For instance, we try to give the gospel to Jewish people. They often throw up in our face the Crusades, because the Crusades was a time in our history when so-called Christians, I don't think that they were genuine born-again Christians, but so-called Christians went forth to conquer in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ with the cross, and they persecuted and killed Jewish people and Muslims too. And so they brought a bad reputation on the name of Christ that we still haven't overcome. I think also that you and I, believers, Christians, we often defame and bring a bad reputation upon the Lord through different things. Dishonesty in our business dealings, or maybe rude in our behavior, or perhaps immoral living, adultery, fornication, not living a clean life before the world. In doing that, we don't sanctify that. We don't hallow God's name. Instead, we profane his name. So, how do you hallow God's name? Well, I think there's two parts, and the first is obvious. Kiddush Hashem, sanctify God's name. Jesus is telling us here in Matthew 6:9, by entering that sacred place of prayer, that inner sanctum where God dwells, with reverence for God's person, recognizing who he is that you are coming before, realizing that you're coming into the control room of the entire universe, and you're coming before the sovereign ruler of all, the King of all kings, the God of all gods, the God of heaven and earth. That's one way to Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify the name. But the second way of sanctifying God's name may not be as obvious, but it's most important. We not only sanctify God's name when we pray by recognizing who it is we are coming before, but by how we live. In fact, in this, what is called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he ends it, and then he says, in verses 14 and 15 after the Amen, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." And he's talking about fellowship with God. In other words, you can't even begin to enter into God's presence and hallow his name until, first of all, you have your life right with God and right with other people. So the second way in which Kiddush Hashem, we sanctify the name, we sanctify God's name, Just as bad actions damage God's reputation, good actions bring glory and honor to God, to his name. And the rabbis described three ways in which that can be done. They said, you can sanctify God's name by living a life of integrity. By, secondly, obeying the commandments in the Torah. And or by risking your life to help others or even to suffer martyrdom for God, for right. In other words, risking your life to do right. Now, I would say this. We admire, and we should also follow the example of believers who through the centuries of church history have risked all and have even laid down their lives, given their lives for the Lord Jesus. We should admire them and follow in their example. But all Christians, all believers are capable of a deep level of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying the name of God by desiring first and foremost that he be glorified, that his glory be seen in all that you are and all that you do. You sanctify his name by that. You sanctify God's name by the way that you serve him. You sanctify God's name by the schedule that you keep. You sanctify God's name by the reading material that you have. You sanctify God's name by what you watch, what you look at, whether it be on the television, the movies, on the computer screen. You sanctify God's name by your spending, by what you buy. You sanctify God's name by your habits. You sanctify God's name by your thoughts and ambitions, your desires. You sanctify God's name by your attitudes, a joyful attitude or an attitude that is sour when things don't go your way, when bad things happen, and failure. To sanctify God's name by your lifestyle, by your words and your deeds, is really, it brings disastrous consequences. You know why? Because the world is watching you. The world looks very closely at believers. And let me tell you, our lives either justify their evil or convicts them of their evil. Because they hold us to a much higher standard, I think, than we hold ourselves to. And careless words and lifestyle can do eternal harm to other people because it can turn them off to God and to a relationship with him. And so I would say this. This might seem harsh. It is useless to pray, "Hallowed be thy name," and dishonor God's name by what we say and how we live. The ultimate example, of course, of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying the name, would be the life of the Lord Jesus. He always sanctified the name. He always hallowed his Father's name. And it's epitomized, I think, with the words that he spoke to his disciples at one point when they were arguing as to who would be the greatest in the coming kingdom. And he said, "The Son of Man," which was himself, "the Son of Man came not to be served, but came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's how he sanctified the name. We are told that we are a kingdom of priests and kings before God who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we should show forth his praises. That people, as Jesus said, should look at our lives and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That they would sanctify the name as a result of what they view in us. That's what it means when Jesus said, here's the pattern for prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that the truth of this might really grip us and might cause us to just honestly admit where we are in our life with you. And if we are not sanctifying the name, if we are guilty of profaning your name, Spirit of God, convict us, but leave us not in our conviction. Show us the way of cleansing through Jesus. Thank you that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, is able to cleanse us from all sin if we will own it, if we'll admit it. And not only that, you can also give us the grace, that ability to sanctify the name, to hallow your name, to live life that through word and deed brings glory and honor to you. That's what we want for ourselves. That's what we want for others. And we thank you that it can be. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's sing a closing song here. And then we'll go offline and we'll have some time together in sharing prayer requests and praying. So let's take I'm going to take my songbook. The song is going to be up. Yesterday, today, forever is the chorus. If you want to stand with me, you can. Just the chorus. Yesterday, today, forever. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to. I think we ought to sing that again. Ready? Let's try it the second time. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Hebrews 13:8. That's a quote. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the unchangeable, the immutable God. We can always trust you because while everything else around us is changing and we're changing, you never change. You are that rock upon which we can stand solid, fast. We praise you for that. We ask tonight that we would not forget how important it is to honor and to glorify your name as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can have a seat.